Welcome back. Episode 16 of Let Me Reach.
The podcast.
Thank you, Yedix. The podcast. And Yedix, just out the gate, I've done a lot of research this week. I've listened to a lot of different podcasts. I feel like I'm missing out on great opportunities. And I'm not willing to do that anymore.
What do you mean?
So obviously I love deep conversations, meaningful conversations. But that's not the only thing I'm good at. Now, little birdie told me that I should probably do more. And not only should I do more, but I need to start understanding that less is more, and more is less.
Where are you going with this?
You'll see, I promise. And before I even get started, I just want to say thank you to the people who took the opportunity to listen to any of my episodes. Now, I understand some of them was probably longer than they should have been. And to be quite frank, every time I re-listen to it, I always feel like I left some pertinent information out. And this is what I mean when I say shorter could be better. Also, I want to reach on other topics. You know, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, maybe 20 minutes, whatever. But there's other things that I like to talk about too.
I thought this platform was only for meaningful conversations and things you find important within our society.
Yeah, that's not going to change, but I got to mix it up some, right? Well, a little birdie told me I should mix it up. And again, I listen to people and I like ideas and perspectives and opinions. So I appreciate everybody who's given me feedback throughout this process. Good, bad, indifferent, whatever. It's always a learning process. And by doing this, I feel like I'm tapping into more of my creativity. So gear up, sit back. LMR is going to take off. And this platform will be on a mega corporation one day. I have no doubts about that. So I appreciate you for sticking with me early and helping me grow this space. And with that being said, I want to talk about today's episode.
What are we discussing today?
I want to talk about this rap beef. And I want to talk about women's sports and the progression of women's sports. Now, about this rap beef, I understand you got to pick a side. And I do have a side.
Which is...
I will definitely let you know, Yedix, right after this intro. You know the intro ain't going over. I'll see you guys on the other side.
There can only be only one, 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 yeah.
All right, so speaking on these rap beefs, I understand that a lot of these rap beefs aren't really beefs, but sometimes they could be.
And when you say beef, are you meaning actual, you know, fighting and killing, or just mad at the other person?
Both. And you have to put in there that, you know, the competitive spirit of rap, just in general, it's just always going to be something that's prevalent in the rap game. Rap is a competitive sport. It's no different than, you know, another football team facing another football team. One person wants to come out on top. One team wants to come out on top. It's normal. But sometimes it does get sloppy. Sometimes they actually beefing for, you know, specific reasons or money specifically or respect. Let's dig into this J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar thing. Yedix, people is giving a lot of shit to J. Cole simply because he apologized. And, man, generation needs to grow up.
Why? Didn't he just say it's just a friendly beef or a friendly competition?
Yes, I did.
So maybe they just want good competition. And I'm sure you know, being a former D1 athlete, competition brings the best out of all of us.
I agree, and I'm not arguing that fact. You know, I understand how it could be entertaining. I understand how people could be amused with, hey, we're going to get the best version of Kendrick. Hey, we're going to get the best version of J. Cole, Future, Drake. I get it. But if something is not sitting right in your spirit, or you're doing something for external validation or things that you don't want but other people do, let it be known. We can learn something from that.
Like what?
In his 7-minute drill, J. Cole was trying to get on Kendrick, or actually, he was trying to get on Kendrick the whole album, which the album is fire, by the way. It sounds great. It sounds phenomenal. But his angle on Kendrick, it just wasn't correct. And I know Cole is a solid dude. very authentic, very humble, and very self-aware, which I have a great deal of admiration for those types of human beings. And with those things, it culminates something inside of him that he can't really just be okay with. When he goes to sleep at night, he's thinking about that shit, thinking about, damn, I'm really downplaying greatness.
Isn't a diss a diss, regardless of downplaying?
Well, here's my thing, Yedix. A diss is a diss, but it has to come from an authentic source. You can't just say shit and just think you're gonna win because you said some dope shit. If it has no foundation, if the words don't have no type of truth, then it's just words. Think of it as being in a boxing match, and what if your opponent is Mike Tyson? Sure, you can throw punches all day, every day, but if they don't never land and his lands, what is going to eventually happen?
I would think of KO by Tyson, but are you saying Cole was an amateur in this realm?
No, not at all. Cole is the closest thing that we have in Kendrick in this era, but his angle? I just disagree with his angle. You can't just throw punches. That was the analogy. It has to be calculated. It has to be validity in those punches. Only then can you knock out a champion. And in my humble opinion, he just didn't take that approach. He was just throwing punches just to throw.
Don't we see this quite a bit?
Yeah, but that doesn't make it right. And like I said, J. Cole standing up for, you know, himself and respecting another man. Man, there's so much respect in that. But a lot of young people or a lot of immature people don't see it that way. They just want to see blood. And my theory on this is J. Cole put out some shit that he knew the world wanted to hear. And a couple of days later, it just didn't sit right with him because, again, what he said in his raps just wasn't true.
Why do you think he would do that then? Why put out something that he knows is not true?
He was trying to give the fans what they wanted. He knew what the world wanted. He knew what his friends wanted. He knew what the environment wanted. As a matter of fact, let's just listen to Cole and see what he said.
So I'm so proud of that project, except for one part. It's one part of that shit that make me feel like, man, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my fucking life, right? And I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear. I know I can hear my niggas up there right now like, nah, don't do that. But I got to keep it 100 with y'all, right? I damn near had a relapse, right? Because y'all heard some shit that happened two, three weeks ago, however long it was. Y'all heard that bazooka that was dropped on the motherfucking game, right? So all of this time of me moving on my own accord, for the first time I was tested. Why am I tested? Because I got the world and I got my niggas like, what you gonna do, Cole? My niggas like, big boy, I must have had 1,000 missed calls. Oh my fucking God. Text flooded. I couldn't even answer my shit. Nigga, it's wartime. Boom, boom, right? Niggas wanna see blood. And I was conflicted because, one, I know my heart, you know what I mean? And like, I know how I feel about my peers, these two niggas that I just been blessed to even stand beside in this game, let alone chase their greatness, right? So I felt conflicted because I'm like, bro, I know I don't really feel no way, but the world want to see blood. I don't know if y'all can feel that, but the world want to see blood. So I say all of that to say, in my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I moved in a way that was that I feel spiritually feel bad on me. Like I try to like jab my nigga back and I try to keep it friendly. But at the end of the day, when I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk, that shit don't sit right with my spirit. That shit make me feel, that shit disrupts my fucking peace. So what I want to say right here tonight is in the midst of me doing that and in that shit, trying to find a little angle and downplay this nigga's fucking catalog and his greatness, I want to say right now tonight, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest motherfuckers to ever touch a fucking microphone? Dreamville, y'all love Kendrick Lamar, correct? As do I. So I just want to come up here and be like, publicly be like, bro, that was the lamest, like, goofiest shit. And I say all that to say, it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. And I pray that God align me back up on my purpose and on my path You know what I mean? I pray that my nigga really didn't feel no way. And if he did, my nigga, I got my chin out. Take your best shot. I'm gonna take that shit on the chin, boy. Do what you do. You know what I mean? Like, all good. Like, it's love. And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like, forgive a nigga for like the misstep, and then I can get back to my true path. Cause I ain't gonna lie to y'all. Past 2 days felt terrible. Like, it let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years. So all of that to say, man, I wanna now perform the song that's a reminder to me of getting back on the right path and getting in tune with God. And the name of the song is called Love Yours. I wanna do that for y'all right now.
Did you hear that, Yedix? That shit is powerful.
What's powerful?
He said it disrupted his peace and it didn't align with his purpose.
And what can we learn from this?
I'll align this with this new segment that we're going to do.
A new segment?
Yeah, and it's going to be called...
You know what really grinds my gears?
So Yedix, when you hear this, just know, I'm going to go on a rant.
About?
Something that grinds my gears. So if you hear Peter Griffin's voice and you have kids in the car, just turn it off, because I might be doing some foul language, more foul language than usual, just to get off my rant.
Why must you use foul language?
I know this is going to sound crazy, but to me, Yedix, they're just emphasizing words. Growing up, it's like when my dad ever told me to take out the trash. Nah, I'll take out the trash when the time is ready. But as soon as he come in there and says, take out that fucking trash, you know what I did? I took that fucking trash out. Why? Because I heard urgency. And if I heard urgency back then, I know people hear urgency now. People hear different when it is different.
What about having a higher vocabulary? That way you could substitute words for other words.
I see that point, but I disagree with that point. My theory is, as smart as we are, as smart as we could be, as much information as we could have, I mean, if you think that I'm dumb because I use emphasizing words, that's fine. But if we were ever talking in person, you would know that my vocabulary is actually pretty intense. I do have a very broad vocabulary. Now, I pick and choose my settings when I should use them and shouldn't use them. But in an environment where I know we spell things incorrectly, we sound things out incorrectly to sound cool. To put it bluntly, I'm not interested in sitting up here sounding like a genius in the comfort of my own home. It's just me and Marley. And Marley's my Frenchie. She doesn't care, so I can be authentically me. Now, if I'm in an environment where I need to use or not use these words, promise you I can do that. I do it every day. But here, probably not.
So, this segment is about something that you strongly dislike about something, correct?
Yes, something that I strongly dislike or something that annoys me.
And how often will you do this?
It'll be random. And I actually have some more segments that I want to introduce, but those will be random as well. Now, this one kind of intertwines with what we're talking about. So, yeah, I think it's time to get this one off.
I believe we are ready.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Motherfuckers who do shit for clout. Yedix, I'm tired of this shit. Why would you put some shit out there that doesn't align with your principles? And no, I'm not talking about J. Cole. Look at fucking Megan Thee Stallion, for instance. I don't care how many times I've looked at this video. By the way, it's a great video. But you know how many hoes that empowers? You know how many women gonna shake their ass on the Instagram page just to try to get some fucking attention? Bro, this shit is so annoying to me. I'm tired of it. Again, the video is great, but the principle is beyond fucking me. So many people is doing shit for attention in this fucking generation that the real is like, what the fuck is going on? We don't know how to act. We don't know how to react. We don't know how to do things because so many people just gravitated towards bullshit that the real shit can't even fucking survive. Look at the influencers of this generation. What the fuck are we influencing? They influencing. Look at Kai. Look at Show Speed. Like, look at all these fucking influencers. What do they talk about? They talk about bullshit. They talk about nothing with substance. Academics talks about nothing with substance. A lot of these podcast people talk about nothing with substance. Now, I understand you can go to a specific podcast. You can get some real good information. I get that. No Jumper, Vlad TV, all this hip hop bull. Who is funding this shit? Why are we putting these fake ass human beings on top of a pedestal so they can influence the younger generation? These folks don't have no morals, no principles, no ethics. They're willing to get up here and say all types of dumb shit just for clout, just for attention. And it's not just this generation of people. You got people on ESPN saying the same shit, Fox saying the same shit, news channels saying the same shit. You got a battery in their back. They don't have no character, no principles. It's almost like the more outlandish things that I say, I'll get attention. And yeah, no, I don't believe the shit, but I know it's gonna sell. It's bullshit. And then we look at the younger generation and say, oh damn, what's going on? Well, fuck, I know. And to the people that's putting a microphone in their hand, I get it. You want your views. But where is the character? Where is the principle? Where do you draw the fucking line? Do you have a line? Or is it all about money? And I just want to say, God doesn't care about your money and your success, especially if you influenced a whole bunch of bullshit and harmed this earth through your antics, through your shit. And this is why J. Cole's apology was so big. It didn't align with his purpose. His purpose is bigger than money, influence, attention, all this bullshit that the world wants. I feel like a lot of people are so entrenched on making these NPCs happy, they don't even be happy themselves. I'm talking about soul is dying because you don't have any principles, no ethics, no character, no morals. If you don't stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. And I see that a lot in this generation.
And that, people, is what grinds my gears.
So, what grinds your gears?
Clout chasers and people who use their influence for the wrong reasons. Or just simply have no purpose other than attention. And inauthentic people. You know, those types of people who are obviously putting on a show. There's way too many circuses in this generation. I just feel like if you're going to influence, at least, at the very least, you can be your authentic self. You can say things that you actually mean. Drewski's a prime example. Duke Dennis. I haven't seen many videos of him, but speaking on like Drewski, at least he's his authentic self. He's here to make people laugh, and he's doing a great job at it. I'm not saying be Malcolm X, but I am saying be yourself. Sorry, I guess I wasn't too specific there. I was kind of all over the place. I'll do better moving forward for sure. And after J. Cole apologized, he played the famous Love Yours, which aligns perfectly with who he is and his purpose. And it's a message that should be promoted over and over and over again. And by the way, even before all of this, J. Cole was number two on my list anyways. Kendrick is number one. Now we're talking about the big three. Drake is not in my big three. But again, he's a part of this beef, so we're going to talk about him.
You don't like Drake?
I love his outcome of music, but the creative process is super important to me, along with the purpose. And in my opinion, both of those are in question with Drake, but that's neither here nor there. The outcome, the final product of the music is top tier. But no, I'm not a fan.
So whose side are you on? Future or Drake?
Definitely going for Future. Now again, this is just talking about pure music. I don't agree with everything Future does and everything he talks about, but I do think he's more intuitive, and I think he actually goes through the creative process. And I'm not saying Drake doesn't do that, but Drake has a large team. And again, I care about the creative process too much, because if Leonardo never painted that painting, if somebody else painted that painting and he slapped his name on it to say it was his, that changes the whole thing for me.
So, about this beef, are you with it or not?
Like I said earlier, hip-hop is predicated on competition. Now, we call competition in rap form as beef. I get it, although I don't, but whatever. As long as there's no bloodshed, I'm fine with it. Now, remember, Biggie and Tupac started with a beef, and we all know where that went. So again, I don't like to call it beef, I like to call it competition. And I'm always up for competition. And a part of me thinks hip hop is revolving again because you have these mega stars, these mega talents going at each other, competing for the number one spot. Now, I think Kendrick has a spot by a long shot. But I do digress because I am heavily biased because I love Kendrick's creative process. I love his purpose in his music. I love how he talks in his music. He has a movie within his music, his growth within his music. All of this shit is just super powerful to me. But again, different strokes for different folks, and it's all subjective.
And why do you believe it takes Kendrick so long to drop music?
I believe that when you're actually creating something, well, first it has to be your words. If you're actually creating something with your words and it has purpose and everything that you put out has meaning, I think it takes more time than the normal music that you hear.
And Drake, for instance, why does he put out music every other month?
Drake is for the popular. Drake is, he's a pop star. He's a big mega star. He's great at what he does. He's great at taking this song and making it a hit. Yeah, Dix, I know you don't know who Gucci Mane is, but back in the day, Gucci Mane used to have a mixtape every fucking week. How was he able to do this? Just by dropping shit without any meaning. Just dropping bars after bars after bars. Some of them would hit, some of them wouldn't. Most of them did, though. And to me, that's music without intention. It doesn't take much thought. Although, I understand it could slap. So I'm not necessarily demoting that music. I'm just saying music with intention is better for me. But I will say, I do like bullshit music occasionally. I do. I am no saint. Like I said, I watched Megan Stallion a video at least 15 times.
What video?
It was just another social media challenge. You don't need to see it yet, Ix. I watched it for the both of us. But all in all, I'm here for the rap competition. It's making hip hop great again. And I think it really proves who's better and who's been faking all along. Acting, I mean.
I see what you did there. So, about women's sports.
Yes, shout out to Dawn Staley, South Carolina head coach. Shout out to South Carolina women's basketball team just in general. Y'all showed y'all ass all year and I loved it. Louis Dawn, yes, those fits were crazy. But the reason why we're talking about women's sports yet is because of one girl. I hate to say it, but it is one girl and one girl only. Well, probably two, but the other one isn't that skillful.
And who are we talking about and why?
The greatest woman basketball player I have ever seen. And I'm here to tell you, she's the greatest college basketball women's player to ever play the game. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care if she didn't win the championship.
You do have to win to be the best. Or are you saying otherwise?
Yeah, you do need to win, but I do think there's cases and instances to where it's like, okay, well, this person didn't win because they took a subpar team, matched with a superior team, and it showed.
Are you calling Iowa's team subpar?
Yes. Yes, I am. A team that shouldn't have been there wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for Caitlin Clark. For the first time in history, I think that that excitement is going to carry over to the WNBA. Now, I know a lot of old heads in the WNBA is saying, oh, it's going to fall off when you get to this league. But I think the world is more excited to see a Steph Curry type of player in the WNBA. Now, I think there's some out there, but not like her. And by the way, Juju Watson, she's up next.
So who was the other player you're talking about? You said we wouldn't be talking about women's sports if it wasn't for two players. You mentioned Caitlin Clark. Who is the other one?
I loved her antics. I love her competitive edge. I love how competitive she is and the edge that she brings to the game, especially in women's sports, because I think women's sports needs that edge. They need a Kevin Garnett type of player to make things interesting.
And why is that?
Just like in a rap beef, we want to see bars. We want to see hits. We want to see competitiveness. Just like in men's basketball, men's sports, whatever, we want to see ferociousness. It doesn't stop with women's sports. I don't want to turn on my TV and watch a nice game. I don't care who it is, whether it be men or women. I don't want to see friendly competition. I want to see fiery competition. That's what we watch for. And I'm aware that that's an unpopular opinion. But as a man who really wants women's sports to excel, I think you have to have a lot of these personalities in the league because it makes for better TV.
And what would you say to people that says that's not ladylike?
I would tell them to go watch the Hallmark Channel. But I think Andrew Reese played a huge part in the progression of women's basketball. I really do. And I would take it a step further and say she's right behind Caitlin Clark. Now, not in the skill category, but just in the bringing eyes, bringing attention to the game. I think she did that. whether people hated her or loved her. But I will say, Yedix, Angel, if you are listening, I need you to get your ass in the gym and develop some real skill, because I want to see you play for a long time, and I want you to really, really back that shit up. What I saw throughout this tournament, it was kind of disappointing.
And how is that?
While I can see she's a dominating force, I can also see that she doesn't have real skill right now. Now, she has about 18 rebounds, but 10 of those is on her misses, putbacks, and all these sorts of things. Kind of reminds me of, you know, back in the day when that kid was just bigger and stronger, and that's what made them good. Can't rely on that forever. I'm just saying, you got to get a post game, do something different instead of just chunking that shit up. Sorry, I said it. But either way, Yedix, we're talking about women's sports. That's a big deal. And congratulations for that, because I never thought I would have been on this plane. And what I love about it most, obviously the attention, they deserve it. But it gives young girls, young women, an opportunity to be their authentic selves and really carve out a lane in basketball if they have the interest.
Yes, a different avenue is always important to see.
Yes, and you know, the game is just going to grow, so it's going to get better from here. And with that being said, we are going to wrap it up for today. If you can, like, share, subscribe. I appreciate you for listening all the way. I'll be back next week. I'm taking a trip to Austin, so maybe I'll have a story to tell. And while I am recording this on April 10th, just want to say shout out to Jalan. Happy 29th birthday, bro. And we know you're going up this weekend. Celebrating for life, bro. Also, Eid Mubarak for those that celebrate Ramadan. Yedix, show love.
Happy birthday, Jalan. And Eid Mubarak.
And that wraps it up. Again, I'll see you guys next week. Like, share, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend. All that. Appreciate it. One love.
There can only be only one.
Illuminate and set your city on fire. Illuminate and set your city on fire. You could be the number one supplier of info, only you got potential, so illuminate and set your city on fire.
Yeah, I'm from a city where the ghetto used to be suburban. Until the niggas came, I mean quote unquote urban. It's disconcerting how they fled, put up that iron curtain. Most can't afford to leave for certain. It's a cold war, and now they shell each other, spray, slay, kill each other for real.
Why?
Black on black crime is so surreal. I see it everywhere that I go. You a bunch of Uncle Ruckuses living with that revitaligo. I'm from a city where the elephants outweigh the donkeys. My state stay red, so fuck a vote. But the old heads say that they bled for that right, talking all that shit like they fought the fight that let us live this life. But instead I see some niggas that behave like monkeys. What? Gang banging over colors like political honkies. Either way, black or white, it was never about race. But that's because nowadays race is trumped by money. So I
illuminate and set your city on fire. Illuminate and set your city on fire. You could be the number one supplier of info, only you got potential, so illuminate and set your city on fire.
Yeah, I'm from a city where success was home to Greenwood. In 1910, black men could make enough ends.
That's right.
They made enough to feed the neighborhood.
Really?
Two wrongs didn't make a right back then, so the neighbor's good.
Really?
Pockets fat, man, so ain't nobody robbing.
Damn.
Until that race riot, a rich black hood could stay quiet.
Yeah.
11 years later, war was complete. Now obsolete, the last you'll ever hear of a black Wall Street. Yup. I'm from a city where they claimed a rapper couldn't make it.
What?
But I will be someone who all the people can't relate with.
Uh-huh.
Someone a father could let their daughter go on a date with.
Whoa.
And he don't say shit.
That's right.
But still he get the message.
Ooh.
After a while, my intention to play foul is something he can't equate.
Uh-huh.
Some things are just innate.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, it's nothing worse though than when your daughter decides to take it personal like a late hit. So
illuminate and set your city on fire. Illuminate, illuminate, Illuminate and set your city on fire. You could be the number one supplier of info. Only you got potential, so illuminate, illuminate, illuminate and set your city on fire. Yeah.
It's been a minute.